Good afternoon, men. Just to show you how brief this life is and how we're only one heartbeat away from eternity, our good friend Bill Fortune passed away this morning into the arms of the Savior. Many of you know Bill Fortune. Another gentleman told me just a few moments ago he invited another fellow to come today, but he had to change his plans because he had to rush him to the hospital with a heart problem. So I'm honored that you're here. Our Lord is honored that you're here. And I pray that your time together here with other men of like faith will be meaningful to you today. As you know, we've been going through the book, Four Pillars of a Man's Heart. Four Pillars of a Believer's Heart. And we're in the third pillar. And that pillar is a man of faith and wisdom. And Mike Lepoy got us started last week in a great way. And I hope to follow up on his talk. Maybe add a few other thoughts as well. Mentoring is no more than passing on the secrets of life. And the Christian mentor will pass on the secrets of life as they are found in this book. The book of life. The book of books. And we know it as the Bible. The infallible, inspired, inerrant Word of God, which speaks knowledge, knowledge about the truth. Newspapers recently carried a story about a young high school girl from Fremont, California. You may have seen it. And she did the impossible. 17-year-old Karen Shing scored perfect marks, 1,600 on the national SAT test, and perfect marks, 8,000 on the rigorous University of California Acceptance Index. No one before had ever achieved such a rigorous or a remarkable academic feat. This phenomenal girl, always a straight-A student in high school, thinks of herself as a typical teenager. Her teachers recognize her as one of a kind. They call her the Wonder Woman. Clearly, she will have her choice of America's most prestigious universities. So you ask, how in the world does she, this very intelligent young lady, illustrate America's need for more mentoring? And especially from flawed mentors like you and me. As it happens, one newspaper account of this girl's genius included a question she'd been asked by a reporter. It was the kind of question every human should be able to answer. Certainly one of the most intelligent teenagers in America ought to be able to give or else to be able to offer some kind of a response to this question. The question is, what is the meaning of life? Her response, brilliant young lady, says, I have no idea. I would like to know myself. Dr. James Dobson, who many of us know, founder of Focus on the Family, now retired, he did an analysis of this exchange with this reporter. Here's what Dr. Dobson said. With no disrespect intended to this gifted girl, her inability to explain why she exists or the purpose of living is characteristic of this generation. Millions of young people who have grown up in the opulence of North America are equally confused about transcendent values. They have had opportunities never dreamed of by their ancestors. More money has been spent on their education, medical care, entertainment, and travel than any other generation in history. Yet we have failed them in this most important of all parental responsibilities. We have not taught them who they are as children of God or what they have been placed here on earth to do. The late philosopher Dr. Francis Schaeffer said it like this: the damnation of this generation is that it doesn't know why it has meaning. Men, the most basic questions of life are the ones we ought to pursue most vigorously. Who am I? Why do I exist? What really matters in life? Is there a God? Is it possible to contact with Him or connect with Him? Is there life after death? How do I know? Here's one of America's most capable young persons who evidently never had the advantage that many of you have had, and I've had, of having someone come alongside of her, a parent, a friend, a counselor, a Sunday school teacher, to help her understand the true meaning of life. She doesn't need more head knowledge. She certainly has that. She needs someone who has experienced some of the ups and downs, the bumps and bruises of life, to help put it all together in a proper perspective for her. She needs someone to talk to her about the most basic questions of life. Some of you hearing this today have tried hard to do just that with people in your life. You've stepped out of your comfort zone and given yourself in the effort of mentoring or being a role model, only to be bitterly disappointed. Those whom you have tried to pass on wisdom, pass on the secrets of life from a Christian standpoint, have chosen not to follow. You know, guys, that's a real hard pill to swallow, isn't it? I've been there. I know how you feel. But God didn't call me or you to force other people to follow His principles. He just wants us to pass them on. And as you do that, you just have to trust Him to keep working in the lives of the people we are mentoring. Ultimately, those who have heard your words will be held responsible for embracing the secrets of life as their own and following them. Yeah, a lot of batons have been dropped in the race of life, haven't they? Summer Olympics coming up a few months over in London. I still, in my mind, see the baton being dropped in some races in the past in the Olympic Games. But guys, running the next leg of the race is up to the one who receives the baton. The bottom line is this: God is God, God is faithful, and He reminds His men, us, regularly, that mentoring is part of being about my Father's business. We need to entrust our pain and our ability to handle more pain to our Heavenly Father. Over in Joshua, we find these words, and they're familiar words: "Be strong and courageous, for you will lead my people to possess all the land I swore to give your ancestors. Be strong and very courageous. Obey all the laws that Moses gave you. Do not turn away from them, and you'll be successful in everything you do. Study this book of the law continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you may be able to obey all that is written in it. Only then will you succeed. I command you, be strong and be courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you, even to the ends of the world." And I hear what some of you guys are saying, because I know most of you fairly well. You're saying, "Who would want to learn from me? I stumble, make mistakes, sin every day." And most of us do. But don't let the word mentor intimidate us. We are all mentoring one way or another, unless we are the sole occupant of an otherwise deserted island. We are all mentors. Most of you guys know who Charles Barkley is, right? His teammates had some other names for him, but big man, basketball, NBA. Now he's a NBA commentator. And Charles Barkley said, even a couple of years ago, "I am not a role model." But Karl Malone, a wiser ex-pro player in Sports Illustrated, said, "Charles, you can deny being a role model if you want, but I don't think it's your decision to make. We don't choose to be role models. We're chosen. Our only choice is whether we're going to be a good role model or a bad one." The good news is, for believers and Christian men, we have some help. We have the Word of God. Men's Scripture gives us all we need to be good role models and to be mentors. The ultimate mentor, God Himself, said over in 2 Timothy, "All Scripture," I believe it's on your handout, "is inspired by God, profitable for instruction, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." It's in the book. The Scriptures mentor us in a steady course on the secrets of living life as God intended. And it's the only way to go. It's narrow, but it's the only way to go if we believe the Scriptures. By the way, one more word here. Do you know what the most worthless thing in the world is until recently? It was a roadmap in the glove compartment, if you never take it out and read it. Now it's a GPS, obviously. A map is absolutely useless when it's taken out of the glove compartment. So pull the book out, guys, regularly. You be the tour director for your family. Like it or not, you are the man. By the way, a good mentor is a student of people. Ever sit at an airport and just watch people go by? Time goes by quickly when you do that because all the sizes and shapes and kinds of people that go through an airport. I did that just twice in the last 6 weeks. Yogi Berra is reputed to have said, "You can observe a lot just by watching." A good biblical example would be Peter, who became a student of people. Peter switched from the wind and the sea to the men and women of his world. He figured that if you had to understand a fish to catch one, you had better understand people if you want to become a fisher of men. It was the old Saul himself who said this, and I quote, "Husbands, love your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her the honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life." The book says, guys, I didn't say it, study your wife. She is a woman. Learn how God designed her, how they are intended to function, what they need from a man, and what they can become when they're flourishing. We often joke about this assignment. Who can understand a woman? Are you with me? Most every man in the room, probably. But God has answered that question for us, loud and clear. Who can understand a woman? You can. Husbands can understand their wives if we will take the time and the energy to focus on them as feminine persons who need their husband's honor. If a man is a poor student of his wife, he cannot hope to help her reach her potential as a woman, as a wife, or as a mother. And if you want to stunt your wife's growth and potential, guess who takes the hit for that? The ultimate mentor, guys, and bridegroom, our Savior, has made His bride, that's us, the focus of His energy to make her, that's us, holy, cleansing us, to present her to Himself, radiant, without stain or wrinkle or other blemish. And the book also says, in that same way, husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies. Ephesians tells us, he who loves his wife also loves himself. Translated, there may be many things that we want, projects to work on, promotions to pursue, big toys to play with. But I and you must be ready and willing to set those aside if necessary to help my wife develop her full God-given potential. Sort of scary, isn't it, guys? Some of you are looking down at the floor. I would be too if I was out there. Mentoring our wives? You don't know my wife. But the book says we're supposed to. We need to walk in it. But equally as challenging is becoming a student of children. Becoming a student of your children, and for many of us, our grandchildren, and for some of us, our great-grandchildren, is a demanding and daily task. We must work at understanding how they develop. We need to understand their unique personalities, their individual time of life, and how they view their world and their place in that world. We need to know something about their hopes, their dreams, their fears, and their passions, the things they enjoy and why. We need to relate to things that come easier for them and the things that don't. The better students we are of our kids and grandkids, the easier it will be to make decisions about how to relate to them, how to discipline them, how to encourage them, how to challenge them, and how to motivate them to follow Jesus Christ. Men, mentors are students of people, especially their own wives and our own children and our own grandchildren. The Scripture tells us, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Guys, to become an effective mentor in whatever setting, it's important to take a look inside here. What's going on inside my heart? Throughout my life, I've been blessed with many mentors, coaches, teachers, pastors, friends, just to name a few. I've also had a loving, supportive wife for 59 years as a helpmate on my journey through this life. It hasn't all been smooth, but He promises that no matter what we've been through, He will never leave us nor forsake us. Here's a little paraphrase of the 23rd Psalm. Our shepherd friend David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need." Period. "He renews my strength. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for You are close beside me. Surely Your goodness and Your unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." Remember a few weeks ago when our friend Kevin Hardy stood up here with his suitcases? It became rather uncomfortable, didn't it? For some of us, at least. Remember all the excess baggage he was carrying around in that one suitcase and pulled out? Godly mentor leaders know who they are, what motivates them, and why they do what they do, and react the way they react. And they are always ready to change in order to become all that God wants them to be. So men, we need to evaluate our priorities. Consider the order of importance you place on your relationships with your Lord, with your family, with your work, with your friends, and everything else in your lives. Take a hard look in the mirror. Recognize that God has given each one of us in this room incredible gifts, unique abilities, and strengths that are unique to no one else in the world except you and me. And then begin to concentrate upon the kind of mentor that God wants us to be, and whom then that He wants us to mentor. Mentor leaders, guys, are also people of character. C.S. Lewis said, and I quote, "The right actions done for the wrong reasons do not help us to build the eternal quality or character called a virtue. And it is this quality that really matters most." Governor Matthew Ridgway, great American general in the U.S. UN forces in the Korean War, said, and I quote, "The character is the foundation on which all leadership is built." He rated character, courage, and competence as the three core leadership skills. To be trusted is a greater compliment than to be loved. Think about that for just a moment. To be trusted is a greater compliment than to be loved. My favorite coach, probably yours, Tony Dungy, in his 2010 book, The Mentor Leader, if you haven't read it, we need to, says, "Mentors are, number one, competent people. We need to be able to explain why the path following the Lord is better than any other path. Secondly, we need to be focused on integrity. We need to be able to explain why one path is better than the other. We need to be secure in our own skin." You've seen the ads recently where Shaquille O'Neal and several other athletes say, "I'm very comfortable in my own skin." We should all be comfortable in our own skin if we're walking with Him. Mentor leaders are secure in their own skin. A godly mentor needs to have a genuine sense of self-worth that can't be shaken by circumstances that come into our lives sometimes daily. Knowing that He created me, He cares for me, He loves me unconditionally, and He plans every step of my life. According to the 37th Psalm, the 23rd verse, it says, "The steps of a righteous man, steps of a godly man, the steps of a believer are ordered by Him." No mistakes, no accidents. They're ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way. And then mentor leaders must be authentic. People know a fake when they see one. You do, I do. So be real. Be sincere. Be authentic. People will know when we're not authentic. They'll know. And they'll also know when we are. And you know what? They'll be drawn to that authenticity. Mentor leaders exercise faith. Mentor leaders are accountable. Mentor leaders understand the importance of being available and approachable. Mentor leaders exhibit loyalty to those that they lead. Here's some questions to ask ourselves, myself included. Number one, are we accountable? Number two, do we live with integrity? Nobody else is looking. Are we loyal? Are we authentic? Are we the same persons in private as we are in public? Very important question to ask ourselves. Men, you and I are placed in places and positions that no one else in the universe is placed. It's your family that you lead. It's your friends that you influence. It is your workplace. I can't be there and you can't be at mine, but you're there and there's where you need to exercise some leadership. These are all spheres of influence that no one else has in quite the same way that you do. Therefore, no one else can make a difference in those places like you can. We need to open our eyes and just look for the opportunities. They're out there. Every man in this room will leave a legacy. Leave behind a legacy to those that come behind after us. The only question is, what kind of a legacy we're going to leave? Positive or negative? Don't worry about your platform. God will supply that. Focus on the impact of your life on others. And faith is what drives us to look for the potential in the lives of other people, and then compels us to build into those lives. Coach Dungy again says, I find it helpful to remember that people are watching me and how committed to the things I profess to believe and whether those are worthy things. As I live my life, Coach Dungy says, seeking to be a good role model, and he certainly is, and exercising mentor leadership, I hope that others can see my faith at work and have it affect their faith as well. That's my prayer. I trust it's your prayer. The legacy we leave, men, is a composite of many things that guide the daily steps of a mentor leader. Relationships, impact, involvement, character, faith, actions. When all these traits combine with the mindset of a godly mentor leader, lives will be changed for the better. Again, what kind of a legacy are you leaving behind? Will the people you influenced be better for having known you and observed your life? We need to evaluate our consistency. Examine our words. Evaluate our faith. Are we building on sand or on solid rock? True mentor leaders, guys, value other people. They don't see themselves as above service. Out in the hallway a few moments ago, I saw a brother reach down and tie the other brother's shoestrings. Menial thing, but it said to me, this brother has a servant's heart. Mentor leaders don't see themselves as above service, and they see themselves as ambassadors for God. When you get up in the morning, I hope you take on that responsibility. I am an ambassador for God. I'm a leader, I'm a mentor leader today in many people's lives, and then walk in it. A great example of adding value to other people's lives is Tony Dungy's broadcasting partner, James Brown. As you and I know, there's a whole litany, a whole slew of sportscasters, almost every channel, three or four, and most of them played in the past. Well, Tony Dungy on his program, NFL games, has JB, or John Brown. Or James Brown, I'm sorry, James Brown. James is a little bit overweight, but he's a brother. In 2009, Tony and Jim Brown stayed at the same hotel in New York City as they fulfilled their weekend broadcasting duties. Early in the season, Jim Brown invited Tony to join him to a Bible study that JB was conducting. When Tony arrived, he found JB surrounded by members of the hotel staff, bellmen, people from maintenance, and kitchen help. JB explained to Tony he had become friends with these people over the past year, talking in passing about things that mattered to each of them. What mattered to James Brown, the next time you see him on television, think about this, was that he could build in to other people's lives one by one. And he's taken advantage of that. Guys, there are mentors in this room. Many of you have mentored to me, frankly, over the last 8 years. Some I've known longer. I don't want to mention many because there are many others I could mention. But I want to mention a couple. And see if it resonates with you as well. I don't think, yeah, he is. Didn't think he was here today. Our friend Rex Gingrich. When you think of Rex, what do you think about? New car? He hopes you do. You know what I think of? Rex has taught me humility. Haven't learned it all yet. But if there's a godly, humble brother in the room, it's our friend Rex. Sam Lee, stand up. Where are you, Sammy? Stand up. You got your Cardinal uniform on? Which one? Okay, well, it's either Cardinals or Green Bay Packers. This brother, if you don't know him, you need to. Always has a smile, but he always has a hug and an encouraging word, and he says this: I love you, brother. I know Sammy Lee believes it from down in here. That makes my day. He calls me up on Saturday morning and says, I just want to tell you I love you. That's incredible. That's incredible. Bobby Gray is not here. Bobby's playing golf in the southeastern part of the country. Spring break up in Cass County, I guess, this week. Bobby has taught me a lot of things, but one is a tender heart. Bobby has the most tender heart. I can make Bobby cry in 5 seconds, because so can you, because of his tender heart. Well, guys, there are many others in here that I've learned from as well. What's really at stake here is living a life of significance. It could well be that you will never know the impact you have on other people. Allow me to encourage you with this true story as I close. I hope it doesn't sound too self-serving, but it happened. As many of you know, in 1985 and 1986, raised $500,000, spent it, and lost. Won a five-man primary, but lost in 96 in the fall to Jim Johns. About 3 or 4 years ago, a lady called me from up in Lake County. Her name was Nadia Schloss. How do you forget that name? I didn't. So she said, it's Nadia Schloss. I remember her. She was involved in rallies and fundraising projects and Right to Life programs. And in fact, she was the chairman of the state Right to Life organization. She says, I want to come down. I just want to talk to you for half an hour. I'm going to bring my family. I said, come on down, Nadia. Hadn't heard from her in 18 years, 20 years. She came down to the office with four or five of her 8 children. And she wanted to tell me this. She says, I observed your life during that campaign and your testimony and determined, unbeknownst to me, I'll guarantee you, that how we handle ourselves, how we try to mentor people, build into their lives. And she said that she observed that, and she too wanted to know and follow Jesus. Nadia accepted Christ, and all of her 8 children accepted Christ. Apparently stimulated by something I said or did along the way. I didn't know it, had no idea what she was saying. But I guess what we're really saying is this, that what we do, if we do it as a godly leader, a mentor, is not going to be in vain. Even though we may not see the results down here, there will be, there are eternal results. This morning, how many of you guys read Daily Bread? Okay, several of you. This morning I thought of this. Can't have a better closing than this. Only one life, so live it well. And keep your candle trimmed and bright. Eternity, not time. The radius of that will tell, I'm sorry. Eternity, not time, will tell. The radius of that candle's light. How profound. So guys, I simply say to you, press on. Fight the good fight. Finish strong. And bring someone along with you. Thanks for listening.